Are we on now? Hey, everybody. All right, Jared, come back up. Let's do that last song again, and we'll transition it. No, I'm just kidding. All right, well, the good, bad, and the ugly. Welcome to Life Point Church. Man, we're so glad that you're here with us today. For those of you that are either not football fans or that are here, you know, that's why you're here, or that you're football fans and you really love God. So thank you for being here. We're glad to have you. Man, today is an awesome day. I was telling the team earlier, it's a great day because, one, we're having our community meal. Second Sunday of every month, we have our community meal, so hopefully you hang around for that. Two, for me, I do love football, so football season, NFL kicking off, and college football being back is fantastic. And also today we're doing some baby dedications, so it's just a great day. What a way to end the series like a child than being able to dedicate some babies. So it'll be great. So thank you all so much for being here. But today, like I said, it's the last week of our current message series, Like a Child. And if you haven't been here for this series, I encourage you to go back. You can check it out on our podcast. You go to our website or to iTunes. You can find it in either of those places. So you can check out the last 3 weeks. But what we're doing in this series is basically we are looking at several of the different attributes of God that we find throughout Scripture. But we're looking at them through the lens of a child, right? Through the lens of a kid. Because a lot of times for kids, man, they see things so simply, so purely and beautiful because they've not been just destroyed mentally by this world. So they have a very pure thought process in how they view things. It's very simple. And in this series, our key verse is found in Mark chapter 10, where we see that Jesus is out somewhere teaching, and some parents, they bring their kids to see Jesus, right? They know Jesus is there, so they bring their kids to see Jesus, and they just want Jesus to bless their child, to pray over them, you know, kind of like what we're going to do at the end of the service with the dedication, just to pray over them. But man, Jesus was there, so heck yeah, they want to get their kid to Jesus. And so they bring their children, and the disciples see this, and you know, they're well-meaning, but they're like, This ain't going to happen. Jesus does not have time to be dealing with these babies, to be dealing with these little kids. Like, he's just too important. His time is too precious. So he can't be there. They can't be here. So they're like, no, you got to go. And Jesus was not happy about this. He responded with basically, no, let the kids come to me. And then he said this in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, which is an incredible statement. And one that we really, as believers, have to wrestle with and work through. And it's this. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Will never enter the kingdom of God if you cannot approach it with the simplicity, the purity, the honesty of a child. Something that each and every one of us really, like I said, have to wrestle with and to work through. So today, we're looking at our final attribute of God in this series, and we're going to be talking about the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God. How that God is powerful, right? That he is all-powerful, almighty. We see this word all throughout the Bible, and it's only referring to God, not omnipotent, but all-powerful. We see the almighty, and it always refers back to God, like some 350 times. So we know that God is indeed powerful. Now, in week one, real quick recap, we looked at the goodness of God, but a kid would look at that and say that my God is for me. Right? My God is for me. Week two, we looked at the presence of God and how he's always present with us. And that's why a kid would just simply think, my God is with me. Last week, we talked about the grace of God and how a kid would just say, my God forgives me. They're not talking about grace and trying to break that down. They just say, no, my God forgives me. And then this week, like I said, we're going to be looking at the power of God to where a kid would basically say, hey, my God can do anything, anything, not just some things. See, we love, whether we want to admit it or not, we love to put God in a box. We as humans love to say what God can do and what he can't do, what he will do, what he won't do. And we always are kind of, again, whether we admit it or not, that's kind of how our minds process and operate. But a kid, when they think of God, they're just like, man, my God, he can do anything. And we really, really have to get to that point in our life where we get back to that innocence, to that purity, and say, my God can do anything. And this is critical. I mean, it really is. This is pivotal in our lives because I believe it's pretty safe to say that every single person sitting in here or that's listening in on the podcast, if you were being honest, you've probably got something difficult going on in your life, personally, or in the life of someone that you're really, really close with, that you love. They're going through something. Something difficult. Something challenging. Something that's painful. Something that's hurtful. Because that's just life. That's part of humanity, unfortunately, is that we deal with difficult things. Yeah, at church, a lot of times we try to, you know, people want to put on the smiles and kind of fake it, throw on the masks like we talk about all the time, but real life is messy. Real life is ups and downs, peaks and valleys. And a lot of times we come in and we're dragging because that's life. Whether we like it or not, the reality is that at some point in time, you've been in the middle of a difficult season, maybe in the past. Maybe you're currently in a challenging or difficult season. Things are not going well. But if that's not the case, in the future, you're going to go through a challenging and difficult season. Probably not the most encouraging thing that you came into here to hear. It's kind of, honestly, a not-so-great statement. Like, hey, either you have or you're in the middle of it or it's going to happen. It's going to be bad. Welcome to LifePoint Church, right? You're welcome. But that's reality. And we have to face reality. And we have to deal with reality. And the way that we can do that is by looking at that and saying, you know what? That is the truth. Things are going to be tough. They're not always going to be easy. But in the midst of that, hey, my God's got this. Because my God can do anything. He is all powerful. He is almighty. He can do anything. But that's just the way life is. We go through difficult seasons. We go through tough times. Just think about your social media feed. How many of you all in the past week have seen someone on social media, whether Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever your pick of poison is, but that you've seen someone on there stating that they were going having a bad day, a bad week, or asking for prayer or good thoughts, well wishes? How many of y'all saw someone dealing with that? All right. How many of you all, if you're okay with raising your hand, would say you were the one that posted that you were posting, that you were having a tough time? Yeah, some of us out there. We had a tough time. We're having a tough week. Going through some stuff. I mean, just in the past week, when I think back on the people that I've interacted, that I've encountered, or that I've seen on social media, I can think of someone that I know, acquaintances with, that is dealing with their father just passed away. I know someone that is going through some incredible, incredible family drama. It's not good right now. And probably in the next few months, it's just going to get worse. And they're dealing with that, and it's painful, and it's challenging. We all know about family drama. You ain't got to raise your hand. We all got it. I've also know someone who's has some of their family members that are fighting cancer right now, and it's not looking good. All of that I've encountered in just a week. So we, more than ever, really need to embrace and understand the fact that our God is powerful. To be able to have the faith like a child to say, you know what? It's tough, it's difficult, but my God, he can do anything. Anything. Nothing is too big for my God. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at Scripture, and we're going to run through three statements that I want to show you that I believe will help you to truly get to this point. to where no matter what you're facing, you can dig deep down, take a breath, and say, you know what? It's okay, because my God's got this, because my God can do anything. And the first statement that we're going to look at, so if you're facing an impossible situation, something that you just feel completely overwhelmed by, when a kid interacts with that same situation, one of the things that they're probably going to think to themselves is say, you know what? My God can. Right? That's where they're going to start. My God can. He can take care of that. He's big enough for that. Not even a thought. Not even a question. My God can. I love what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 32, verse 17. He says, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. He's acknowledging God's creation, how big God is. If we truly believe that God is in control of all this and created all this thing, then why in the world would we limit him to anything? No, we say, God, we see what you've done, your beautiful work, how powerful you are. So in this circumstance in my life or this situation I'm going through or maybe this situation I've unfortunately created, you can. You can deal with this. You can take care of this. Just like Jeremiah, we sometimes watch the sunset while we're driving home. If you have a late night at work or whatever and you're driving home and you see that sunset and you think, man, God, you're so powerful. You're so powerful. Or you look up at night at a clear sky, stars, it's just beautiful. Or maybe like me this morning at 6:45, you're driving your child to solo dance solo practice, 6:45 a.m., and you get the opportunity to see the sunrise. But it's beautiful. It reminds us of how powerful God is, how big he really is. And that makes our circumstances and situations seem just a bit smaller when we know the one that created all this, that makes the sun rise and set in such a beautiful way, that he can. He can deal with that. He's got this. I always think about my kids as they've been growing up and still even to this day, but whenever we have faced things as a family, or things that we try not to hide things from them. We really want them to interact with the realities of life. And of course, we curve some things sometimes. But we want them to see that and to deal with that and to learn to process and work through those things. And to watch how they do that in such a simplistic and beautiful way is humbling. Because they really, children, I mean, they really look at these problems and they say, it's all good. God's got this. Let's just pray. And then they pray, and they ask God to do whatever needs to be done in that situation. And what do? Keep it moving. Right back into whatever they were involved in. It's powerful to be able to operate that way. It's healthy for us to operate that way. Our physical health, our mental health, our emotional health, and our spiritual health. To be able to look at the problems that we are and will face and say, my God can. So it's all good. I don't have to stress. I don't have to trip about it. My God's got this. And that's what faith like a child looks like when it comes to believing that my God can do anything. So for those of you who are Christ followers, let me just go ahead and ask you this. And you don't have to raise your hands. I just want you to internally reflect on some of these things. But maybe... How many of you all have currently, again, don't raise your hand, just think through this, that you have some type of broken relationship in your life right now? You're dealing with something. I said you didn't have to raise your hands. We all would, right? No, but just think about this, that you have a broken relationship in your life, whether it be family or friends or maybe even your spouse or whatever it may be. Maybe it's something that they did or maybe it's something that you did. And you're frustrated, you're bitter, you're angry. In that situation, do you really believe that God can? Like, think about that. Do you really believe in your heart that God can heal that relationship? Maybe for you, it's more financial. You're dealing with some serious financial deficits and you're wrestling with that, do you believe that God is big enough to make a difference in that, to change that, to help lead you into turning that ship around? Maybe for you it's more that you need some type of physical healing, emotional, or maybe even mental healing, something you're struggling with. Do you believe that God can heal you? Do you believe that God can? When you're struggling in that doubt and depression or anxiety, or when you're thinking about the condition that you have, or maybe that chronic illness or disease that you might be fighting and dealing with, do you believe that God can? Or when you think about that friend or that family member that doesn't know Jesus, do you believe that God can change their heart? Do you truly believe that God can? A kid does. Very simply, my God can. It's all good. Don't worry. He can do that. He's big enough. But do you? Do you have that faith like a child to believe that God can do anything? The second thing that we see in the way that children believe is not only do they say that my God can, but they even take it a step further and say, my God will. Not only can he, but he will. He will heal that person. He will change the circumstance. He will provide X, Y, and Z, whatever it may be. That's faith, true faith, to believe that not only God can, but that he also will. When you look back into the Old Testament, a lot of times you would see two groups come and they battle, right? Like if you've read the Old Testament, there's a lot of war, a lot of battles, a lot of carnage. It can get pretty rough over in the Old Testament. If you don't believe me, check it out. But so we see that these different groups of people would go into war together. And what they would do a lot of times is they would start by sending out their strongest warrior to call out someone from the other camp. Right? From the other group. Call out their strongest. This is what we see in a very, very well-known story that we read about the Philistines and the Israelites, right? The Philistines, they send out their biggest, baddest, toughest dude, a literal giant named Goliath, right? And he comes out and he's calling them out. He's like, who wants some? Come get it. And they see him, they're like, no, we're good. We're just going to hang out and see what happens. And he keeps calling them out day after day. Who wants it? And then he starts mocking God. And he's just relentless with it. But none of them are budging. But then one day, right, this kid that should have been out just tending to the sheep, doing his little part, stay over here. He's out there. He sees it. And you all know the story. Most of you know the story. He wasn't about it. He's like, dude, who is this guy that's calling us out? That's saying all these terrible things about our God, about our people. Are we just going to let him do this? They're like, yeah, you see him? Heck yeah. He's like, no, I'm not having it. So he's ready to go. He's like, you're calling someone out? Between me and my God, we got this. And then, you know, so of course, and the king's like, no. You stay over here. Stay where you belong. He's like, no, I'm going. And so let's pick up the story there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 45. And it says, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver. Not that he might, not that I think it's going to be all right. No, he says that this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. He said, I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give your carcasses to the Philistine army, to the birds and the wild animals. The whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. Yo, David could talk some trash. Y'all, that's some serious, serious trash talk right there. David was confident. He knew what he was about. He goes on and then he says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. He was confident. Not only did he believe that God could do this, but he was 100% sure that God would do this. That God would deliver Goliath to his hand. Because see, you don't go out and fight a giant, a trained warrior, as a little kid with a few stones and a slingshot on just maybe. I think it's going to be all right. No, he was 100% sure, confident, that not only God could, but that he would deliver them into their hands. And that's what I pray for you all today. That no matter what you're facing, that you can truly have that faith like a child to be able to say not only God can, but my God will do this. Because when we can get to that point and have that kind of faith, it's a complete game changer. When we do face those situations, again, we will continue to for the rest of our days, the way we perceive them, the way we work through them is totally different because we have that faith like a child. But let's go another step further. Because if you've been around long enough, you know that it doesn't always turn out like that. Right? It just doesn't. So let me ask you this. What do we do when we know that God can? And we believe that God will, but he doesn't. That's where things get real. Right? When we believe that he can, we believe and know that he will, we have faith, but then he doesn't. That's where it gets challenging. All of us have probably encountered those situations. For me, while I was working on this, I immediately thought of one of my best friends in high school. His name was Jeremy. And he was, like I said, was one of my great friends. We went to youth group together, went to church together. We did a lot of things together. We ended up getting in probably a little too much trouble together. He was my college roommate. We rented a house together out in the South End. And he was just a great, great man. He was a believer. Had a wife, a couple kids, just a great man, a true servant. And then in his early 30s, he was diagnosed with colon cancer. And man, we prayed, and we believed that not only God could, but that God would heal him. He believed it, his family believed it, his church believed it, and we believed it. And we continued to pray and pray. But his cancer progressed. And progressed, and he got worse and worse, and he eventually passed. And it's in those moments that it leaves you kind of feeling lost. Right? If we're being real, it just, God, you could do that. You can. I know you can. You've done things bigger than that before. You've done things incredible in my life. We know that you could do that, and we believe that you could, and we believe that you would, but you didn't. Why? Those are the challenging, difficult moments in life that we face in our faith. And we can either let that rock us completely to where we bail on God altogether, or we can really, really have true faith, faith like a child, and say, you know what? Even if my God doesn't, I still believe. Yeah, I believe that he can. Yes, I believe that he will. Hey, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to trust that your ways are just simply not my ways. And then you know better, way better than I do. I'm going to trust that you're good. God, I'm going to believe that you are for me, I'm going to believe that you're with me. I believe that you forgive me. And I believe that you're powerful. I believe that you have plans to bless me, to bless my friends and family, to prosper, not to harm us, to give us a future. And even when I don't understand, when it doesn't make sense to me, even when I don't like it and I'm frustrated by it, God, I trust you. And even when you don't, I still believe. As we wrap this up, I want you to really process this and think about this. And I really want you to claim this truth in your life. It's that we got to get to the place where we truly believe that we can say that my faith in God isn't based on what he does, but it's simply based on who he is. Period, the end. My faith in God isn't based on what he does, but who he is. The creator of all things. The God of the universe, who's with us always, who's for us, who has our back, and is all powerful. And unfortunately for us, but actually fortunately, things don't always work out the way we want them to in that moment. And it hurts, and it's confusing, and it's frustrating, and it enrages us at times, and we get angry. And all of those feelings we should feel and go through. But at the end of it, the very end of it, we need to come out on that other side that says, I believe you, and I believe in you, not because of what you've done for me or because of what I want you to do or what you did or didn't do, but just simply because of who you are. Because you're good. To have faith like a child. Kind of to wrap all this up, I think one of the stories in the Old Testament about three Hebrew kids really, really brings this home. It's really the level of faith that each and every single one of us need to walk away with today and begin to work and to build and to grind towards. It's the Old Testament account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And basically what happened is King Nebuchadnezzar was wanting them to worship his gods, his idols. And they were like, nope, not happening. And his servants were like, no, you need to bow down and worship these idols. And they're like, no, we're not going to do it. So King Nebuchadnezzar was like, all right, bring them to me. And he's like, look, if y'all don't do this, I'm throwing y'all straight up in a furnace. And it's not going to be good. And check out how they responded. Again, sometimes I think we read scripture and we think about some of these people as these old, wise, confident, strong men and women. But many times, they're kids, young. These three kids, check it out. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able, he can, he's able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We know that our God can deliver us. We truly believe that he will. But hey, even if he doesn't, we're still not doing it. We're still not going to serve your God. Because we believe. No matter the cost, no matter the circumstance, no matter what's going on now, in the past, or in the future, we believe. And we know that you're good. To truly be able to say that my God can do anything. And many times, when we're in the church for a long time, we get this like head knowledge of things. We know what to say. We know how to say it. And we go through all this. But we have to make sure that everything that's up here that we can rattle off with our mouths, that we truly believe in our hearts. And that we are living out. And that our relationship with God is growing. And we are spending time with him. Because that's how we get to this point. You can say all day long, yeah, I believe God can, I believe God will, and even if he doesn't, I'm still going to believe. But it's when you get punched in the mouth that it rubber meets the road with life. When it really hits, do you believe he can? Do you believe he will? And if he doesn't, is your relationship with him strong enough that you can't do anything else but still believe that he's good? We've got to have faith like a child. Do anything. We thank you for all these incredible examples in your word of how we are to live and how we can live when we're connected to you. So God, I pray that you would just speak truth over each and every person that's here, no matter what they're going through, no matter what they've been through or what they'll go through in the future, God. May we spend so much time building our relationship with you that we truly believe that you can do anything. And that we just rely and depend on you when we go through those times. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you've never stepped over that line of faith. You've never truly placed your faith and trust in Christ. It's more of a head knowledge for you than a heart thing. And you're kind of going through the motions. You go through church, go to church, maybe every week, once a month, or maybe a couple times a year. But in reality, you've never truly stepped over that line of faith. The beautiful thing is that it's really simple. That God loved you so much that he truly made a way for you to be made right before him. That he sent his son to die on a cross, shed his blood, give of himself, give his life for yours, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be made right. And scripture says that in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. It was a huge price that was paid on your behalf. But at this point, the response is really simple. That we confess and believe. We confess that we have flaws, that we're not perfect, and that we're in desperate need of a Savior. That we can't make ourselves right before God, and that we need help. And then we believe that Jesus is the one and only way. And so we just confess and believe, and we receive him as our Savior. It's really that simple. And at that point, you become a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are new. Doesn't mean all things will be perfect and rainbows and sunshine for the rest of your days. It's not like that at all. But what it does mean is that he's for you and he's with you and that he'll always forgive you no matter what you do. That he can, that he will. He could do anything. And he's with you. So if that's you this morning, you're ready to step over that line of faith, just where you're seated, you can call out to him. However he leads you, you just spend time with him. Just confess and believe. Confess that you have flaws, you're not perfect, and then you need him. If you want, you can talk to me after the service. You have more questions about it. Or maybe you're just still working through that. That's cool. Keep coming to LifePoint. Keep asking questions. We're about it. This is a safe place for you to interact and encounter and learn more about God. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower. You've got a lot of head knowledge, but it's not really pressing play in your heart. You're going through some things and you have tons of doubt. You've lost sight of the fact that your God can do anything. Or maybe for you, you believed, right? You believed that he could and that he would, but then he didn't, and it rocked you to your core. And a piece of you has never let go of that. You still hold something against God for that. Man, release it. He knows. He knows how you feel. He's big enough to handle it. He's big enough for you to tell him how you really feel. But release that and embrace him, because that's what he's going to do to you. He's going to embrace you. And he's going to receive you, and he's going to love you, because he's good. He can't be anything but good. We may not understand it, but he's good. So during this time, as Jared and the team play, before we transition into a time of baby dedication, I want you to spend time with God. I want you to be honest with God. Be honest with yourself, with how you truly feel about what you're going through or what you've been through. Be honest with him. And begin that process of just growing with him again. Beginning to believe that he can do anything. God, again, we thank you. I pray for each and every person that's here. God, I know each of us have similar experiences, but we have drastically different experiences in what we've been through, what we've encountered. But what I do know is that all of us, we all need you. We all need to have faith like a child and believe that you can do anything. So increase our faith today. Help us to reconnect with you. Help us to give you absolutely everything that we have. So God, you just bless this time as we do business with you.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
All right, if those who are dedicating babies would come forward. Means you too, Jared. I feel the need to be really quiet because he's asleep. And after having two kids, I know you never wake a sleeping baby. Ever. All right, so here at LifePoint Church, some churches and some places believe in infant baptism and dedication and things like that. We come together as a church family and as these individual families to dedicate these beautiful babies to him, back to God, to his service.
We don't believe in infant baptism. There's no saving power in this because that's a personal decision that they will make once they reach that age of accountability between them and God. But as a family and as these beautiful parents come together, they've committed to raising their children in the best way possible, connected to God, and honoring Him with their lives as parents and giving back what God has blessed them with. Sometimes kids don't seem like a gift, but they're the most incredible thing that could happen in our lives. And it's a huge, huge responsibility. And so not only with these dedications, it's really about the individual parents, their child, and God. But it's something powerful about becoming before your church family and saying, and before God, to say, we are going to raise him in your ways. And it's also a way of coming before the church family and saying, hey, life's tough. We need your help. Because each of you, as a part of LifePoint Church, and these beautiful little ones that are a part of LifePoint Church, and these beautiful family that's part of LifePoint Church, we have a responsibility to be good examples of what it truly means to be a follower of Jesus and to love these kiddos and help them to be safe and to be able to explore and search in their relationship with God as they get older, and support these families as they do it. Because life is tough. I've kind of hammered on that home pretty hard today. But it is. But that's why we need each other. And most importantly, that's why we need God. So what I'm going to do is, so we have Jared and Hillary and little Owen. And then we have Christian and Julie and Adami. And Pastor Christian he's been a part of our church ever since I've been here. So for 2 years. And he pastors the French congregation that meets out in the little house out here on Saturdays and Sundays. And so him and his family is a beautiful part of our church, and I'm so blessed to know them and partner with them in ministry. And Jared and Hillary, I feel incredibly old doing this, in the fact that I had both of them in my youth group when I first came to LifePoint some 12, 13 years ago. And to be able to do ministry with them both and to have been a part of doing their wedding ceremony and now with the baby dedication, it's humbling, and again, it makes me feel very old. But at this time, I'm going to pray over each child and each family. I encourage you as well, just where you're sitting, to pray for them as well during this time. Pray for their parents' wisdom and for the protection of these beautiful children, and that they would truly be brought up and connect with Jesus in a real and authentic way. So would you pray with me? God, we come before you, and we're so thankful that you bless us and you give us such responsibilities to be a part of your family, but God, also that you actually give us children to raise. And as we've talked about in this whole series, Lord, you truly love the little ones. There's no one that's too young to be connected to you, to be in the center of your will, and to do mighty, powerful things. God, as adults, we have so much to learn from your children. So God, at this time, as we come together, Lord, I pray a special blessing over Owen's life. I pray that you would bless him, that you would keep him safe. God, that he would grow into the young man that you've created him to be, into the man you've created him to be. And God, I pray in that he would come to know you as Savior. And God, and we pray that you would give Jared and Hillary wisdom and patience and understanding as they raise him exactly in that way, to honor you, to love you, and to respect you. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless them. God, we thank you for them giving back in this symbolic way the gift that you've blessed them with, Owen, back to you. God, we pray that you would honor and bless that. And God, we pray for Adami, that you also would just raise him up in your way, that he would stay connected to you forever. grow into the man you've created him to be. Navigate the waters of life in such a bold and powerful way. God, we pray for Pastor Christian and Julie, that you would bless them. Give them wisdom, give them strength, give them understanding, give them patience. Help them to raise him in the way that you've created him. And God, I pray that LifePoint Church would partner with these two beautiful families to be the most incredible example of what it means to be a follower of you. To be healthy church family for them to raise up in. Not a toxic environment. Not an environment where we're being just ugly about things, God, but that we create this beautiful family for these children to connect with as they go on their journey in relationship with you. So God, we pray for both of their salvations as they grow old, they would connect with you and serve you for all of their days. God, we thank you for loving us. In your name we pray, amen. All right. Love you guys. All right, Jared, get back on the guitar. I'm just kidding. Give it up for these families. It got too quiet. I tell you what, that's one way to grow the church, right? Start having babies. That grows the church quick. Maybe not quick, but it grows. Right? So at this time, we're going to continue on in our worship with our tithes and our offerings. So if the team will come forward. Here at LifePoint, there's a few different ways that you can give. Basket's going to pass here in a second. There'll be a basket out in the lobby on your way out. Or you go to our website, top right-hand corners, online giving button. You can click it. But either way you choose to give, we just encourage you to just be faithful in your giving and partnering with us at LifePoint Church to reach as many people as we can and to be as generous to our community and within our outside our walls and within our walls as we can as we all do life together. So and reach people with the good news of Jesus. So we encourage you to get in on that. Announcement wise, like I said earlier, after this service, we are going to be heading over to the chapel for our community meal. So make sure you come hang out for a little bit. Even if you are planning to jet out, come over for a little bit, say hey to somebody, connect with someone that you don't know. And like I said, we're about doing life and we want to continue to have opportunities to do life together. And this is one of those opportunities. Also, if we are going to be doing another baby dedication here in another month or so. So if you want information about that or you would like to dedicate a baby, or if you didn't dedicate a baby and now they're a little older, that's cool. We can do it there too. It's all right. We can do that. So it's never a problem to pray over people. So if you want to bring your adult kid too, they might need it more than anybody. So, but yeah, so you can come, you can write it on a connection card or you can come see me after the service or while we're hanging out over there in the chapel. But other than that, that's all I have. Man, thank you all so much for being here with us, being a part of LifePoint Church or coming to check out LifePoint Church. We love you guys and hopefully we'll see you next door at the chapel here in a minute. So Jared and the team are going to lead us out and we'll see you then.
All right, church, let's rise and sing on our way out this morning. We're going to jump back into Multiplied. It'll sing these words like a